Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yes, the Urban Sports. We're back live. I'm your host, Wally.
I guess I'm co-host, Will.
Co-host. You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know. I'm not that type of person to take all the credit and whatnot. That's not how I roll at all. But it's the Urban Sports Scene. We're here always to talk about sports. And there's a lot of sports to talk about, and we'll get into it. But I have a big gripe with one of the stories, because I'm very annoyed, because I grew up in a particular household where this with this kind of action occurred. But anyway, our phone lines are open. The number is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. The phone lines are open. Also, always, all shows are dedicated to my big homie, Big Ron. So, RIP, Big Ron. And also, if you want to contribute to his name, the memory of Ron. And I have a blurb about Ron on our website, which is www.walio.podbeam.com. But the link to it is www.gofundme.com/CBT730. That's the site to if you want to donate to Ron's memory. We're trying to help out his family and whatnot. So please, if you have anything counts. I don't care if it's $5, $10 or whatnot. If you can contribute, that's fine. That's a blessing. So thank you.
What's going on, man? How you been?
I'm good, chilling. The weekend was good. I had a 15-year reunion, high school reunion. I attended on Saturday.
They do 15 years?
I didn't know that, but they did.
What was it, like a Facebook thing or something like that?
That's how I got hit up with it.
Okay.
It was a Facebook thing, of course, a social media effect. But it was cool, man. I got it in. It was
drink good.
I drank like a beast. I drank like a beast, man. Dude, they said it. Or initially, I wasn't going to go.
Uh huh.
Because Facebook's the reunion to me. I can hook up with anybody on Facebook. But they said open bar. I was like, dang, open bar. I mean, I got to pay like $40 to get in. But an open
40
bar
to get in with an open bar. Yeah. Was there a time constraint?
Yeah, it was like 7 to 9.
What time did you get there?
I got there at 7.
It's funny because this is a guy that I know whenever it comes to going to a party. And, we haven't gone out to a party in a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
But usually I'll be like, what time the party start? You'll be like, 10. I was like, what time are you trying to roll? 12:30.
Yeah, exactly. That's me. But you said open bar. I'm going to get there early. But it was false advertising. Because really, it was just the Ciroc that was open.
The Ciroc was free?
Yeah, that was it.
How many shots or glasses did you have?
I kept going, son. It's free. Best four-letter word ever. You ain't got to stop me, boy. When it comes to you telling me something's free, I'm a freeloader, so you're going to let me know. I'm in it to win it. I was one of the first people there. You know what I was like.
Where was it?
It was that called the District. District.
District 7?
No. Architectural, sorry. It was like, it's on 7th Street.
Okay.
Maybe it's District 7.
I think so.
Yeah, it's on 7th Street. Okay. So, but yeah, it was fun. I had a good time. Saw people I haven't seen in a while. Actually, I saw people I can always see anytime I went to be honest with you. But I had a good time, man.
That's good, man.
Alcohol is lovely. Don't let anybody tell you differently.
I'm glad you enjoyed yourself.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to watch the fight afterwards?
They actually had the fight there.
Oh, okay.
Because I was going to go. My plan was to go there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what my initial plan was. To go there, get drunk, right? I said this. Get drunk. Then go to my homegirl's. She had a party, a fight party.
Okay.
That didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
Okay. So I just watched it. I glanced at it there. I saw the outcome. I really didn't watch it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I saw, what I needed to see. But you watch the fight?
No, I didn't watch it live. I watched it by other means. I watched it stream. I watched a stream of it on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Just so I would have enough information to have a coherent conversation. All right, with
talk
you about the fight.
Yeah, let me know about it, because I forgot to put it on your outline. Let me know about it.
Well, as I think as everyone knows by now, Floyd Money Mayweather defeated Marcos Maidana in a boxing welterweight / junior middleweight / junior super / super middleweight title bout. in Las Vegas. Promotion was entitled Mayhem. Me personally, just watching it and scoring the fight, I actually thought Floyd won probably 8-2.
Yeah, what was the Floyd outcome?
Unanimous decision for Floyd Mayweather. Two judges scored it, I think 116, 111, and one had it 115, 112.
Oh, okay. Still,
yeah, so it was a unanimous decision. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were, I think Floyd Mayweather took more shots than he has traditionally in the past. I think outside of the fight with Miguel Cotto, this is probably the fight that he's taking the most punishment with. And it's not like Maidan landed a lot of flush shots, but he did land shots particularly that we aren't accustomed to Floyd Mayweather being hit with. Floyd's, some people say Floyd's lost his legs. He's lost his ability to escape punches. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think that what we saw was he wanted to engage a little bit more than he has previously. And Marcos Maidana is a guy who isn't traditional and throws punches from angles that you usually see coming. He throws a lot of overhand rights.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes throws lead rights and tries to make a fight very ugly. But ultimately, in the end, Floyd Mayweather came out victorious. And hopefully people will see a fight that they want to see. He stated that he'd be open to fighting Manny Pacquiao in 2015. I don't think that fight's going to happen. If that fight happens, it'll be fight number 50 for him when he has no contractual obligations to Showtime or anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And he can go off on his own and make as much money as he wants.
So how come you think it won't happen?
Politics between the two cable networks. Mm-hmm. Manny Pacquiao's on HBO. Floyd Mayweather's on Showtime. Two, even though Floyd Mayweather is co-promoted by Golden Boy Promotions, he's had a very long and contentious relationship with Bob Arum because Bob and Top Rank, because Top Rank used to be his former promoter. And three, Floyd Mayweather is advised by Al Haymon, and Al Haymon and Bob Arum really don't get along
definitely.
There are a number of reasons why we possibly won't. If we do see the fight, it'll be in 2016 when he goes for 50-0, opposed to why he's under contract for Showtime.
So do you...
Now, I don't know the economics of his deal. Unless Showtime is losing so much money on his contract because he's guaranteed a minimum of $32 million for each fight.
Mm-hmm.
So if Showtime is in the red going into, you know, this final year of his contract, these last two fights, then we'll probably see there's a higher probability that we'll see a fight with Manny Pacquiao.
And do you think for Floyd's legacy, does he need to fight Manny Pacquiao?
No. Why would he need to fight him?
Because, you know, a lot of people think that Floyd hasn't really fought anybody to kind of put himself into the
moniker
for him to be the best of all time. That's his thing. You know, we see a guy who's undefeated, who's beaten a lot of people. But in terms of having that signature win that people really want to talk about, remember you about, does he need a Manny Pacquiao for his legacy?
It would be nice, but I don't think he needs it for his legacy. The guy's 47-0 right now. He's fought Hall of Famers such as Diego Corrales,
Miguel Cotto.
De La Hoya, Canelo Alvarez, when he was at his prime. We don't know if Canelo is going to be a future Hall of Famer,
yeah,
but all intents and purposes, it looks like he could be.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky Hatton, Zab Judah. He's fought just about everyone who's held the title at 140 or 147 while he's been on top. Would it be nice for the fans? Of course, because, you know, there's always going to be that debate of who was better, Floyd or Manny.
Yeah.
So I think that's more for the public to see. But, you know, he's a smart businessman, or he gives the impersonation that he is. So, you know, if it works out, then I say go for it. I think the pop culture and boxing fans will be happy to see that fight if it happens, even though most people will say, but it's kind of a lose-lose for him from the standpoint of, and I know I'm going over.
No, you're fine. No, you're good.
Because if he wins and he looks dominant, people will say, well, he should have, he fought Manny Pacquiao when Manny Pacquiao took a severe punishment from Juan Manuel Marquez in that fourth fight, that brutal knockout. if he loses, people will say, "Oh, see, I told you so. I told you so."
Yeah, so he can never.
There's an upside because he'll get paid upwards of $100 million.
Oh yeah, he'll get that money.
But it's kind of a lose-lose if you look at it from certain perspectives.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, he's about you know, his money, his image. It's important to him. So I'm interested to see what goes on. But, well, you got to hit that your regular, you know.
Oh, let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Okay, this is a big topic of discussion. Adrian Peterson, as you all know, he's been indicted for child abuse. He used a switch on his 4-year-old. And, this, you know, it sparked a big conversation within discipline or child abuse, or also, to be honest with you, you know, because he's not really involved with this kid as much as I mean
we don't know,
speculation, and that's a speculation statement. But anyway, you saw the photos.
I saw some of the photos.
So what was your thoughts of the whole situation?
My thought. Well, I don't think it's child abuse. Mm-hmm. I think that he may have gone a little bit overboard with whipping his son.
Yeah.
Where he's from, and this is the thing. When it comes to discipline, I don't think anyone has the right to tell a parent how to discipline their child.
That's my thing.
And two, you also have to understand that when it comes to discipline, that there's usually a backdrop or a history to that, because it depends on where you were raised from geographically, economically, and it also has to do with
culture.
Your culture. You know, Charles Barkley stated that parents in the South, black parents in the South, that's how they discipline their children with whipping. Go get a switch and whip, then pull the leaves off. You got to pick your own switch,
pull the leaves off, and bring it to your parents.
Then bend over,
whip your ass.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how a lot of people have gone. I didn't get the switch, but I did get spankings with a belt.
Yeah.
And me personally, I don't see anything wrong with that. But one could make the case that he did go a little bit overboard, because Adrian Peterson isn't a regular. His physique isn't regular.
Yeah, exactly. I got you.
He's 6'1", 220 pounds,
mm-hmm.
and probably has like 2% body fat.
Mm-hmm.
So, was he a little bit overzealous? Did he go a little bit overboard? You can make the case for that. But to call him a child abuser, no. And especially if you look at the text that he had with the child's mother,
mm-hmm.
where he clearly states, A, it hurt me more than it hurt him. And as a parent myself, when you do spank your kids, it does hurt you a little bit mm-hmm. more than it hurts them. And he also stated that daddy has a big heart, but also daddy going to tear that butt up when needed. And that's true. I think anybody who's a parent will attest to that. So all of the cries, you know, I think the governor came out today
and said
that they should suspend them. Radisson Hotel has
Nike's pulled his jerseys.
His jerseys and some of the material that he was marketing.
Mm-hmm.
As I stated, Radisson Hotel has pulled their limited sponsorship from the Minnesota Vikings. And also Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch has come out and stated they don't like the things that's going on from a social perspective of what's going on with the NFL. I think this is a lot of – I understand – by seeing the pictures, I understand that some people are outraged, so I'm not going to downplay that. I do understand that me personally – well, I'll let you talk. Go ahead.
This is the most annoying thing ever to me in life. I grew up, I mean, just like anything. I've been switched. My parents are Nigerian. I've had to switch, and I've had, you know, I've gotten beatings. I've had markings. I've had it all, and it's because truth be told, to me, in my opinion, I did something wrong, and I defied my parents.
But what about the people who say that that's part of the social? I mean, the mental.
It's not the mental side, because it's, to me, in my opinion,
because
kids don't get beat enough, and I'm gonna be honest with you,
they don't
get beat enough.
I totally agree.
Child abuse is when if you cough and your parent punches you, that's child abuse, because they are hitting you for no apparent reason. All right, you did something wrong, they beat you. I'm not going to knock people who don't punish their kids or who don't beat their kids. I'm not going to knock that. That's your choice. All right. where I was at, I'm be honest with you, if my dad didn't beat my ass, I would have been I could have came out different. Put it that way. I could have got in trouble or whatever. The law didn't intimidate me. Okay, when I was younger, the law didn't intimidate me. Getting in trouble by teachers didn't intimidate me. I knew that once I got in trouble and they told my, and I had to go tell my father that I did this, that, and the other, or they told my father, that's what scared me. And the fear of that was because my dad would lay the law on me. All right. And that's what it was. That worked for me. All right. They could say whatever. Well, that was imposed into me psychologically, because that's what I had to experience. But I'm being honest with from experience, to be honest with you, if that, where I grew up at, if that didn't occur, I would have walked all over my parents, because I didn't have a fear of getting in trouble by teachers. I didn't have a fear of getting in trouble by the law. I had a fear about, all right, if my dad caught me doing XYZ, it's a problem. You know what I mean? That's what annoys me. It's like everybody is judging Adrian Peterson, you know, what he grew up with. That's what he grew up with. That's how he was punished. That's how his parents disciplined him. That's how his parents disciplined him. Chris Carter, I heard him on ESPN. It was a spirited speech. But you know what? At the end of the day, Chris Carter, there are parents out here who don't beat their kids, and them kids are doing dirt, and they're walking all over their parents. And what do you say to those parents? I mean, say to those parents and kids, like, okay, don't beat your kid. Okay, they're not beating their kid. They're trying to instruct. They're telling their kids. They're trying to teach their kids a lesson. Trying to tell them, don't do that. Don't do that. But that kid's not taking them seriously. And they're doing dirt. So what do you tell those parents to do? Just stay the same?
One could make the case that as butt whoopings decrease, socially and morally, we've become worse, especially the kids.
Yeah.
Their behavior in the streets and their respectful authority.
There are teenagers to this day I know that don't get teenagers who act up that I know that have never gotten beaten. Period.
Yeah,
to this day in neighborhoods I could tell, and I've seen it, and I even asked parents, like, do you beat your kids? They say no. I've seen it, and I said, oh well, that means a lot, because you can see how that kid is acting.
Yeah, I'm very progressive in my thoughts and how I interpret things, but I'm not progressive to the point where I believe that butt whoopings are wrong.
No, I don't think it's wrong. No, not at all.
Now there's a clear distinction between a butt whooping or spanking.
Yeah.
And child abuse, which, yeah, I don't think. Well, one could make the case that he's almost towing the line of, yeah, child abuse, because, yeah, he's a 4-year-old and, mm-hmm, he left multiple open wounds on the child. Yeah. So you can make that case, but I don't think he's a child abuser. And I think he may have gone a little bit overboard on this occasion. But for one to say you can't spank your kids, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, that's the thing that gets me. You can't spank your kids. Are you serious? Like, no, you can. I'm sorry, you can. I'm one to say, like, if I'm ever blessed to have a kid, I feel like I wouldn't spank my kid. I wouldn't want to. I mean, that's not something I'd be like, oh, I'm gonna beat my. But best believe, my kid disrespects me.
Absolutely,
I'm gonna lay the law. That's what it is. But I don't look at myself and say, okay, I'm gonna definitely beat my kid's ass. I pray that doesn't happen. I won't have to do that. But for someone to say that you can't beat your kids, and this is the thing that really annoys me, it's the folks that aren't in that social climate. And I'm not even talking about race. It's because it could be any race, to be honest with you. It's the people that I feel like of privilege are the ones that are like, well, you know what? You shouldn't beat your kids. I've never experienced a switch. How dare somebody? It's like I'm thinking to myself, like,
yeah, you got to remove yourself from the situation, exactly, and look at the facts and look at his background, exactly, and look at, mm-hmm, that it was common from where he was from.
Yeah, it's not common to you, but it's common to him and a lot of people like him. Put it that way.
And it doesn't, just because you think it's wrong doesn't make it absolute finite. Your word is the gospel, that end all be all is wrong. Yeah. No.
I even heard somebody say he's a bad person for beating his kid with a switch.
Well, some people are making the correlation, but because his, as you know, like I think it was last year or a year before last, his 2-year-old son was beaten to death.
Yeah.
By the mother's boyfriend.
Which was a totally different situation.
Yeah, which was.
I think it was a totally different situation. It's totally different. Yeah, but okay.
I mean, everyone's trying to, you know, people will bring up things from one's past to try to besmudge their name or try to make their point when that point really isn't valid. Should he be allowed to play for the Vikings this week and this season going forward?
I think he should play for the Vikings. I don't see any issue with it. Obviously, you're going to get – he's getting bad press. The media is going to be all over him. You have, like you already, like you said, the mayor.
That's the governor.
I'm sorry, the governor. I apologize. The governor. So in that regard, you know, the NFL has a big decision to make. The NFL and the ownership of the Minnesota Vikings have a big decision to make. But to me, he should play. This is not a big – this to me is – the media running with the story because the NFL obviously feels bad about the Ray Rice situation, and now they're trying to like make this even bigger than what it is, what it needs to be.
Well, I'll say this: the first grand jury didn't find enough evidence to indict him on being guilty of child abuse.
Yeah.
Then they went to a second grand jury. Me personally, I think the only reason they went to a second grand jury is because he's a celebrity.
Of course, of course.
And that prosecutor tried to make a name for themselves.
Always.
He's been found. Well, they brought him up on charges, and Minnesota did the right thing. They deactivated him for this past Sunday. As anyone else in the world, when if you go through any legal trouble, I think you'll be suspended for, when you have to go to jail, you know, you'll lose a day of pay or whatever. But once you're out, you're allowed to go to work and make an earning. And I think he should be allowed to go to work and make an earning until the court system in Houston, Texas finds out, until they deliberate and they find out such that he's guilty of child abuse.
Which will be in 2015.
Exactly. So
wait till 2015.
Wait, due process, people. Yeah,
exactly. Stop convicting people before they even, you know, before the ruling is set. Stop it. It annoys me.
What's crazy? We live in a day and time where so much social media influences so many people's thoughts because a lot of people are sheep.
Yeah.
And most people are guilty before they're found guilty.
Before proven innocent. All the time.
And this mob mentality. The only reason why I think people are in such an uproar is A, because of the Ray Rice thing, and B, you know, now this. So, you know, you have two very delicate social issues when it comes to domestic abuse and child abuse, which people feel are two of the weakest.
But this is like child abuse is, I don't know. When I think of child abuse, I think of like a parent beating on his kid just to beat on his kid. His or her just beating on him. Like, hello, bang, I'm mad, I'm having a bad day, get out of my face, bang. There's no reason to the madness. You know what I mean? That's when I think of child abuse. There's no reason to the madness. Obviously, if you go extreme, that's another situation. But to me, when I think of child abuse, I think of like good times when Penny was getting beat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's child abuse.
That's child right abuse. There. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm thinking. But anyway, let me read off one. A comment from my girl, Amy Blackburn. She says, as a mother of two, I have rarely spanked my children. However, with that said, my kids are 2 and 5. I believe that being a parent also includes disciplining your children should the circumstance require it. Excuse me. There is a difference between abuse and discipline. I used to get the belt or the brush and once or twice a wooden spoon. So if I cursed or talked back, I ate some ivory soap. My parents never physically touched me unless I did something to warrant that type of action. On occasion, I think it is necessary to discipline your child, and if that requires a belt or a switch, then let it be so.
Yeah, but you also heard that late yesterday, another one of his children's parents filed a case for child abuse, and to me, that's kind of piling on. No, it is. At that point, it's piling on. Then also, you have to look at the relationship between Adrian Peterson and the mother.
Yeah, I think something. What did they say about that case, though? It wasn't filed prior. It wasn't filed, right? They just had to investigate it. I don't think it was filed.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I think because he had an open wound.
I don't think it was filed. I think it was just now. She just came out and said it. So they went. They're investigating it now.
Yeah. At that point, you have to look. Does she have an ulterior motive?
Of course, they all do. I mean, like you said earlier, because he's Adrian Peterson, it's they're going for him. I'm serious. The same thing happened with Michael Vick, but that's a whole different situation.
Yeah. You know what's correct? Well, nothing. Well, nah. Well,
go ahead. You go ahead.
A previous job that I worked at, I had a supervisor. And at this point, I was an Eagles fan. And he was like, oh, how can you be an Eagles fan with Michael Vick and what he did to dogs and da-da-da-da. And I went through and I explained to him, you know, everyone makes mistakes. Michael Vick should be given a second chance like everyone else, da-da-da-da. And then, you know, we stopped having that conversation. And, you know, he went on to talk about hunting after that.
Hunting?
Hunting. He was like, yeah, deer season start. And then I asked him, I was like, so let me get this right. You're going to ostracize Michael Vick for killing dogs, even though he did it and what he did was heinous and cruel for his reasons for doing it. Mm-hmm. But then you're going to, in the same breath, you're going to talk about you're going hunting this Saturday. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, this is different. Hunting's different. I was like, dude, you are so lost. Yeah, at that point right there, I knew I couldn't work for that man. I really did.
Yeah, I understand.
I couldn't.
A lot of people are a little, like I said, people are real jacked up in their views, what they value and whatnot.
Yeah, and then they make an excuse for them doing it.
Yeah, don't get wrong. Anyway, let's go to Ray Rice. Ray Rice is doing something I actually kind of agree. I think he shouldn't make this move. Anyway, Ray Rice has decided to appeal the NFL ruling on his suspension. Does he have a chance to win?
Hell yeah, he does.
There you go.
He not only does he have a chance, he should win. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you for the exact reason why. A, when Roger Goodell, when they had a conversation, he did. Now, I think everyone has come on record and said Ray Rice did not lie to them. There's a difference between him not lying and not giving full details. He told everyone what happened. Now, I think he may have left out the part where, I haven't really analyzed the tape, if he hit her with a left hook or open hand.
We talked about this. It was like, no, it was hook, an open hand. It was open hand.
It wasn't open hand?
Nah,
it was a hook?
It was a hook.
Okay, so he hit her with a hook. She hit her head, and she was out conscious.
Yeah.
I think maybe he explained that he did hit her, and she...
He said, from what I've heard, Ray Rice told the truth.
Yes. Ozzie Newsome has said...
From the AP said that Ray Rice told the truth to the commissioner, too.
Yes, so he's told the truth. He's been honest with everyone. Now, I think when the video came out, it makes it look worse, because there's video to it. Now... Here's the issue I have. Roger Goodell went out and suspended him for 2 games. And then after that, he came up with a policy that says your first offense is 6 games. Second offense, lifetime ban. Then Ray Rice, after last Monday, he was suspended after the videotape was made public to everyone. Here's my problem. Ray Rice has served his 2 games. The policy was instated after that. The man, now that the Baltimore Ravens decided to release him, I have no problem with that because they had the right to terminate his contract. But Ray Rice should be reinstated. He should have the opportunity to earn wages in the NFL. And I think if he isn't, it's a travesty of justice. And I think Roger Goodell and the leadership of the NFL will be reacting from the standpoint vulnerability because of they're giving in to the public and what everyone else is saying about them.
To me, Ray Rice deserves to, like, I agree with you. Ray Rice should get be reinstated in the NFL. 6 months. I mean, six. I'm sorry, 6 games. That's if you're gonna go off. If you wanna, he got the 2 games, like you said. I agree, but that should be like if we're gonna go off. If Roger Dale's gonna go off his ruling. You know, with first offense is 6 games,
but
second offense. Is a career? What was it?
Lifetime
bang. First offense. I'm going to go back to it. I know what you're saying. He did. He already said this. He already set his bar with 2 games. But I'm just saying. Or even after that, if we're going to go off your ruling, first offense 6 games, second offense lifetime ban. There's nothing in about nothing that's indefinite.
See, but here's my problem with that. Okay, you. Oh, sorry about that.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
You made the case that, okay, so you're going to say retroactive from mm-hmm. when you made that ruling that he has to serve mm-hmm. 6 games. But the reality is after you handed out the punishment and then you reacted to the public outcry.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. So he served his 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
He should be able to be reinstated at this point because – that rule was not enacted until after everything has come to light.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like double jeopardy. You're trying him twice. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's already, you know, the two games. Then you say, oh, well, you got to do the six game. No, that wasn't the law. And then you also have the drug testing. So if you're going to allow, the NFL just enacted a new HGH drug testing. And everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're going to allow, exactly. So look, look at this. Josh Gordon was suspended.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to the new drug testing. But the new drug testing allows him to retroactively be suspended for 10 games instead of a whole season.
Yeah.
Because something's changed. But it just doesn't make sense to me. But hey.
No, I know what you're saying. I you're a valid point. I'm just annoyed that that he suspended him the whole season. Like indefinitely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like indefinitely. When you came out your mouth and said, okay, I'm making a new rule that it's going to be first offense, six games. Like, it's a first offense, okay? Regardless of what happened, you saw the tape. That's on you. You messed up. That's on you, all right? You made a ruling. You can't keep – like, the problem I have with Roger Goodell is, like, there's no method to his madness. Well, I guess there is a method. It's called public opinion method. So with the public opinion or when the media comes out there, they dictate his punishment. So, but my issue is, when you set a rule, stick to the rule. You can't play with it. It's not a freestyle thing. You're the commissioner. You set a rule. You said six games. Ray Rice deserves six games. Any lawyer should beat that out for him. Any lawyer should have that for him. He should automatically get the six games.
I go with the two.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying, but he should, I'll put it like this. He should be reinstated. Can we agree with that?
He should be reinstated, and I would go, if I was his lawyers, I would go for two, and if they don't give me the two, I'm going on a public smearing campaign of the NFL and their bylaws.
And I would sue the Ravens, too.
You can't sue the Ravens. They have the right to terminate his contract. Yeah,
He's thinking about a grievance to the Ravens.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that. Well, this is the thing. If it is just six games, if I was him, I would try to. If they reduce it to two games or six games, I would try to be paid for those weeks because I have to still be on the roster. And then after that, then you could cut me, and you don't have to pay me the rest of my contract.
Say it again.
So, all right. Let's say if I was Ray Rice,
mm-hmm.
and let's say he was reinstated, and he has to do six games.
Yeah,
I would say that I would file agreements with the league. I mean, with the NFLPA, and say I need to be compensated for those six games while I was on your roster suspended.
That worked.
Yeah,
that worked. I mean, that's fair.
I think that's fair.
That's fair. I mean, to me, Ray Rice. I mean, again, I'm not. I definitely against what Ray Rice did. So I don't know anybody to think that. I was for what Ray Rice did, but I'm a fan of people getting people like
I believe in due process.
And I don't want anybody to be unjustly like punished in terms of like when somebody lays a law, then that's the law. You can't redo it. You can't remix it. You made a rule. Stick to it. You can't because the public saw the video. You can't now play it off and say, okay, well, let me change my mind. Let me do this. So that's my annoyance with the situation. So do you think if he does win the case, which I think he should win the case, will a team really pick him up?
I say he'll be 28 by the end of this season.
I'm talking about this season.
He'll be 28 during the season.
Oh, this season. Okay, gotcha.
I think, yes. They should because there aren't that many running backs on the lot. Well,
will they pick him up, though?
Will they pick him up?
Will they take that chance?
I think in the right situation, I think a team out west where it won't be heavily scrutinized, like Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
like the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, okay.
He'd be a perfect fit there.
You think they'll take that PR move, though?
Why wouldn't you?
No, I don't think a team will do it, though. I don't think they want that headache.
I think a team will. Give them a minimum contract. Because this is the thing. You always can say you can always spin it.
Mm-hmm.
You give him a minimum contract where he has to earn, you know, where nothing's guaranteed. If he makes one slight mistake, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you bring him into the organization, tell him, dude, you got a lot of community service you need to do. You need to pair him with a with some type of feminine organization.
Okay, so now you're talking about a real PR spin. Yeah.
So I mean, if you spin it, you can make it work.
I can't see an organization. Usually, you know, back in the day, I would say the Raiders, but that's not going to happen.
No, I don't think the Raiders would touch
it. I can't think of an organization that would. You say, I don't even think Arizona, because Arizona's going to come up in terms of getting W's and being a
running game is lacking.
I'll put it like this. If Arizona's close to winning it, I'm close to winning the division. Oh, this is a desperate. If they're close to winning the division and they need a running game and put them over the top, they feel like they put them over the top, then I agree, because greed is a beast.
Yeah,
greed is a beast. Yeah,
if you have a strong owner and a strong locker room and an even stronger head coach, if San Francisco didn't have so many running backs, I'd say San Fran would be the perfect place.
They wouldn't
for him
care.
With Jim Harbaugh.
They wouldn't care.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh doesn't care.
He doesn't care at all. He wouldn't care. He just wants to win. He's all he cares about. What's the best situation to win? Plus being another Harbaugh. I mean, being the brother.
So he would have some insight into Ray Rice. So yeah.
All right, so we talked about Adrian Peterson, we talked about Ray Rice. Which act, if they're both are guilty, I guess. Well, if AP's guilty, we already know Ray Rice is guilty. it's worse.
Ah, man. I have to go with the kid, because a kid can't really protect himself.
Mm-hmm. If it's true,
because you know you're supposed to protect you bring your children into the world, and until your dying breath, you're supposed to protect your kids, even if they're old and can do for themselves. You still are supposed to protect for them and help guide them. So I'm gonna go with for now, because I don't know all the facts.
Mm-hmm.
I would, on the top layer, seems like the Adrian Peterson thing.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I actually was thinking about Ray Rice, but yeah, if it is child abuse, which I doubt, but if it was child abuse, I would definitely go in favor of saying that an AP situation is worse, because you know, like Will said, you know, the kids are our future. You're damaging potential. That's
but speaking on the like all the social issues that's going on with the NFL, you know who's happy as hell right now?
I have no idea.
Dan Snyder. Because everyone's staying off his back about
the
name
change. I know, you know, you're right. Yeah.
You
know
like,
what?
Yes.
Well, you know, but you,
because you
but
think
you know,
about
you,
the coming
you know,
to
what's
the
name? You know, Phil Simms is our... Phil, oh, hold on. Oh, I guess we got to have a caller.
Okay. Just give us a second. Getting the audio set up.
Yeah. Hello, you with the Urban Sports Scene?
Hello?
Yeah, what's up, Justin? What's going on, Lil Watt? I can tell by the voice.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on, man? How can we help you, sir?
Oh, well, you know, I'm listening to the show, man. Good show, fellas, as always.
Appreciate it.
But, you know, there's a couple things I wanted to comment on. Y'all talking about Ray Rice.
Yeah,
y'all
go ahead.
What's my man, Adrian Peterson? Adrian Peterson did what you're supposed to do. Maybe he took it a little too far. I mean, the kid is 4 years old. He took it a little too far, but he's disciplining your child. I was listening to a national show today, and the guy was really going in on Adrian Peterson about, you know, what he was doing is wrong and things like that. You have to discipline your child, especially these days, okay? Because children are running amok. They're going crazy. You know, you got to be able to gain control of your child, let your child know, and I'm not a parent, you know, just to put that out there.
Me either. I know. Go ahead.
You got to know, your child needs to know, learn respect for people and just in the situation. And a lot of kids today don't have that. You know, I'm a high school baseball coach, so, yeah, I understand, you know, I can tell which kids have been disciplined certain ways and which kids have not.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And the other thing I wanted to talk about was the Ray Rice situation. I agree with everything you said. I mean, you guys are saying what I said, almost mirroring exactly what I said about the Goodell situation, you know, his ruling and then his other ruling when it came to Ray Rice after the video came out. But the one thing I have a slight issue with what you're saying is the word deserve. Now, I think he should get a second chance, but deserve it? I don't know if he deserves anything but to have his wife beat him up. in my opinion. That's what he deserves, okay? Mm-hmm. Just, you know, being a human being in life, he deserves, he should be able to get a second chance.
Well, let me ask you this question.
Possibly get a second chance. But deserving one, hey, it is what it is. You only deserve to get what you give out.
Well, Justin, let me ask you this question. Don't we all deserve the right for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and to make maximize our wages, our ability to earn?
Absolutely.
So yeah, so him being able to get back in the NFL, will that's something he, and because this is his first offense, and I think there are other players within the league who've been giving multiple chances. Dante Stallworth killed someone.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
And
yeah,
he got a second chance. Leonard Little killed someone
years ago. Mm-hmm.
What's the other guy?
I'm not saying he shouldn't get a second chance.
Uh-huh. You talking about the usage of the word?
The usage of the word deserve.
Got you.
I got you.
A lot of these guys don't deserve.
They're not entitled
certain
to it.
Things when they commit, you know, certain offenses.
No, I hear you. I agree. Yeah, I agree. That probably with the wording, maybe. But you know what I mean? Meaning in the whole grand scheme of things, it's just that because like you said earlier, like Goodell. Because of the situation, because of the ruling Goodell put on it, you can't like take that away from Ray Rice. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Ray Rice, exactly. You set the rule, so it's either like my man Will said, two games because you set that punishment two games, and we know you saw the tape, or you do the six games. Either way, he should have an opportunity to come back to the NFL this season.
Opportunity. I think that's the good word to use. And I agree. I mean, he said he gave him two games. And then changed his thing to changed the policy to say six games, and then all of a sudden, but okay, well, we saw what happened. You're going to be out indefinitely. We don't know when you're coming back. That's not right.
Exactly.
That's not right at all. And of course, I don't agree with anything. I don't condone anything Ray Rice did in that elevator.
We all don't.
Right. I mean, I can't find anybody that does.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, come on, Goodell, you've been heavy-handed all this time. You don't get heavy-handed with the first punishment. Then all of a sudden, when everybody sees this video, you wanna lay down the law. Come on, man. Yeah. I wanna ask you guys a question. I don't know if you guys are getting to this or not. I don't wanna, you know.
You good? No.
Well, we're the ones that ask the questions. It's like, nah, I'm just giving you a hard time. Go ahead, man.
I just wanted to see what your opinion. What should Goodell lose his job?
No, I don't agree. He's first and foremost, Roger Goodell is employed by the owners of the 32 NFL teams. His jobs and responsibilities is to grow the game and help maintain the image of the game on and off the field. He made one mistake. Although it may be, depending on how you look at it, may be a huge mistake, or some people may say it's not that big of a mistake. But we've all made mistakes on the job. What we do is we're reprimanded and we learn from our mistake. And we are given the opportunity to fix those mistakes. Roger Goodell has gotten a lot of things wrong when it's come to suspensions with players. And also the way he's creating a tense atmosphere between the league and the Players Association. But I don't think he deserves to be fired for this one mistake that he's made. Now, if we learn that he's lying and he actually saw the tape, which I don't think he has. I think that the tape was somewhere within the NFL office. Is he held responsible if that tape was inside the NFL office and he didn't review it or he didn't assign anyone to review it? Absolutely. As anyone else, he should be reprimanded. Maybe he's suspended by the owners, or maybe the owners bring in a new COO, someone else to help alleviate some of Roger Goodell's responsibilities. But for him to be fired, no, absolutely not.
I'll jump in. I think he should be fired, but I'm not a Roger Goodell fan with any stretch of the imagination. For me, he's so inconsistent in punishments, and like for this situation, it's involved in all of his rulings. Period in the NFL, and you know, let's use the Saints as an example. Sean Payton. Suppose he wasn't aware of what was going on, but he punished him for the whole season. He got suspended for the whole season. And Sean Payton wasn't supposed to be. Sean Payton wasn't aware of Bounty Gate.
Okay, but
supposedly.
But if we go by just that, we use that example. Yeah. Sean Payton didn't lose his job.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but he was gonna. But a commissioner, he's not gonna be suspended for the whole season, like the whole year. He's not gonna be commissioner for the whole year. He's still gonna be the commissioner.
I understand that. That's why I advocate for bringing in a new COO or someone like that. I think they're going the right route with bringing in a VP of social responsibility or social issues. And, you know, you take some of his power, take some of his responsibility away from him, especially when it relates to off the field issues, social issues and things of that nature. But do you fire the man for making one mistake? Well, no.
To me, he's made multiple mistakes, though. It's just no consistency. Like, he's shown us, our friends, and Pac-Man Jones had that situation. He already suspended Pac-Man Jones before any due process came out. You know what I mean? So, and then in another situation, he'll wait it out. It's just, to me, he's just too inconsistent. If you're going to do something, be consistent. Hold that. If you're going to be the executioner of the NFL, then have this process, and we have a consistent process. And in that way, we can say, okay, you're consistent. But for me, Roger Goodell is one that is just not consistent. Secondly, he lets public opinion dictate his punishment. If you're a commissioner, if you're a real leader, a leader of men, then you do it with what you want to do. You do not let public opinion dictate your punishments.
I agree. I do agree with that. But we're talking about him losing his job over this, over one incident where his work, where you can make the record that you can make the case that his work record and performance has been above par
with
his chief responsibility as the commissioner, which is to grow the game of the NFL on and off the field. Maybe he's failed a little bit with aligning some of the social responsibilities that the NFL has, that he's had as the commissioner, and you can fix that. They've gone about bringing in a vice president of social responsibilities and things of that nature. Cool. So you're alleviating him of some of his responsibilities, and then you reprimand him. But to fire him, absolutely not. We all make mistakes on the job.
I totally agree. I mean, I agree. We all make mistakes, but this guy's an individual. I just feel like
your disdain for Roger Goodell.
I'll be honest with you, it all stems from the whole Michael Vick situation. I'm not going to lie to you. I just wasn't a fan of what he did back then, not a fan of what he did with Pac-Man Jones, not a fan of, you know, what he's doing, what he's done now. If you're going to, because to me, he shows this holier-than-thou attitude, and now when the situation came to him and it's now affected him, now it's different. Now it's like, okay, I didn't know about the tape. Well, again, it goes back to what happened with Sean Payton. You basically put out there that Sean Payton should know. Well, if the tape was in the NFL office, you should know. And I don't believe that crap that you didn't see the tape. I know you seen the tape. If TMZ can get the hands of the tape, and knowing how law enforcement works, you're trying to tell me that the NFL, like the law enforcement, gave the NFL league office the tape, a tape that is probably public scrutinized in terms of what folks wanted to see this tape, and the commissioner couldn't see that tape, the tape that everybody wanted to see. Why this chick was laid out in the elevator? Nah, you ain't fooling me.
I think he didn't go through great lengths to obtain the tape, but I'm not going to.
That's shame on him then.
It's shame on him, yeah. So he failed on that part, but do I think he saw the tape? No, I don't think he's. Because this is the thing. If you're Roger Goodell, you didn't get to this point by being dumb. So you're very strategic, analytical, and methodical in your thinking. I don't think he's one of those guys that just act on an impulse. So you're willing to tell. So you're going to tell me that he saw this tape, knew how egregious the things were on this tape, and decided that I'm going to risk my job. And because he's always said the shield will, there's a stand amongst NFL players, the shield will stand. There's no one person or one thing that's going to tarnish the shield and bring down the NFL. So he put all that on the line for Ray Rice, because Ray Rice's wife went into a meeting and said, please don't make me live this out for a second time. I don't think he would do that.
Wasn't thinking of TMZ. So I don't think he was thinking of TMZ. But hey, Watts,
that's a possibility.
See what you started, man. You see, you had me talking about, like, are you a man about Ray Rice? I mean, about Roger Goodell.
Well, I agree with things that both of you guys said just now. Should he lose his job over this incident? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. But however, I also believe he's been very inconsistent with his punishments and things like that. There was a name that you didn't say that I don't know why it popped in my head, but Vince Young, when he got into his situation, I think it was a strip club situation.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
He was quick to put a punishment down on him.
Yeah, I forgot about it. You're right. I forgot about that one. Yeah.
He was very quick to put a punishment down on him, and he hadn't gone through the through the legal process yet.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, Goodell has to be a little consistent, and I there's no way that he wasn't capable of seeing this video. Mm-hmm. If TMZ can get it.
That's my.
He's got to be able to get it, and just remember, this casino, the Rebel Casino, just closed its doors maybe a couple weeks before this video came out. The second video came out,
mm-hmm.
So somebody could have actually been holding on to this video.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
To get some money because you know they knew their jobs were going to be null and void.
Yeah.
So they could have been holding on to this video, got some money from TMZ, and said, "Here you go." They knew they weren't going to get any money from the NFL for it, I'm sure.
That's true. Hey, Watt, man, appreciate the call, man.
Thanks for the call, man.
Hey, man, y'all keep doing y'all thing. I'm going to keep listening, man. Y'all take
my boy.
Appreciate it, man. Right take back. It
hey,
easy.
Watt, talk about your show real quick.
Oh, my show, got a few shows I'll do now. But do Twitch still Tuesday mornings. We will be coming back. I have the monthly podcast. I can't remember the name of it. Sorry, guys.
It's all good.
And then of course we'll have the Eagles post game show, and you know, while I'll be giving you a call about that very shortly,
cause right, cool.
We're gonna be looking to link up with you guys on that.
Sounds good. All right, Wild,
no problem,
man. Appreciate
the
call,
your
man.
Support.
Take it easy, fellas.
All right, same, brother.
Okay.
My boy Watt. Love
appreciate
you.
Appreciate him.
Show him out. Eastern Shore, one of my good homies.
Yeah, appreciate
real
him.
Good peoples, man. Real good people.
Appreciate him calling in.
Let's go baseball real quick. Let's speed this up. Local baseball teams. The Nats have an opportunity to clinch the NL East against the they're playing the Braves tonight.
This would be huge for their psyche. As we've known over the past two seasons, the Braves have basically owned the Nats. This year has been a little bit different. I mean, after the All-Star break, it's been a little bit different because of the Braves' performance on the field. But I think this would be huge just to kind of shake off that stigma that the Braves own them by capturing the NL East on their Turner Field.
Yeah, I think it'd be big. I think obviously it will probably, even for next season, eliminate the whole stigma that the Braves own the Nats. They could just win the division on their field. Your rivals, I think it'd be cool. I think something big for the Nats. Hopefully the Nats will do it. I'll check the score out later and post, folks, so what's going on in that game later. But let's go to the other team on 295. Well, you go ahead.
Let's go up 295.
Let's go up 295. The Orioles can clinch also tonight, and I believe the Orioles are 4-2 against the Toronto Blue Jays. Let's talk about Chris Davis real quick. Chris Davis was suspended for 25 games. How will this affect the Orioles' playoff run?
Takes another bat out of the lineup. Even though he, from an average perspective, he wasn't hitting very well, but he's power. And, you know, in the playoffs, we all know that one swing, if you have good pitching and one swing, can change the whole complexion of the series. So I think it's big for the Orioles just because of all the other guys they're missing in the lineup.
Yeah,
so I think it could potentially take away from the Orioles making it to the World Series.
It's going to hurt because obviously what you mentioned, it's taking another bat, and we lost Manny Machado for the whole season, so that it's kind of like a trickle down effect.
Yeah, you lost Machado, Wieters.
Yeah, Wieters was kind of workable because Joseph has played well as catcher.
You lost another guy, Hardy.
It was just pretty much those ones you mentioned. But for me, about Chris Davis. We may be better off in a way for playoff baseball. We'll have a guy in that position who can create contact. Chris Davis is striking out too many times. So you know, if you look at the situation, second and third, one out, Chris Davis at the plate. Yes, there's an opportunity for a 3-run homer. Yes, there is an opportunity, but also there's an opportunity for a strikeout, which would hurt even more. So now in this situation, you may have a person in the order who can get a sack fly or ground out the right way, and the Orioles can score a run. So in a way, I think it may work out for the betterment for the Orioles, and we'll see how that pans out. But anyway, it's about time for a commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking about the Washington Redskins' big blowout victory against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, please.
Yes, it's a big W. It's important. Please. You beat bad teams how they're supposed to be beat.
But anyway, more importantly, we'll talk about the impending quarterback controversy.
It's the Urban Sports Day.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always have to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Mike Wilmer.
Bands to make her dance. 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 Bands to make her dance.
Bands to make her dance. Bands to make her dance. All these cheeks popping, popping. I'm just popping bands. Bands to make her dance. Bands to make her dance. These cheeks clapping and they ain't using hands. Bands to make her dance.
All right, back from commercial break. That's Ducey J. Bands to make her dance. Excuse me. I love that song. Good strip club music.
It is.
We were talking about Vince Young's strip club, Pac-Man Jones. I think Roger Goodell has issues with strip club. That's my opinion.
Nah, I don't.
You don't think he has issues with strip club?
Nah, I don't. I think he has issues with the actions of players
in the strip club.
In the strip club. When alcohol is involved and testosterone.
All right, that's close enough. I don't know. I love strip clubs. You'll never
Roger,
hear me
Roger Goodell, I can see Roger, you know, making it rain in the strip club.
Get wetness in the strip club?
Yeah, man. I can see him, you know, making it rain, you know, Sin City, Magic City, someplace like that. You know?
Roger Goodell in Magic City?
Yeah, man.
Roger Goodell in Magic City. Anyway, you can listen to us on our official Urban Sports Scene website. The website is www.waleo.podbeam.com. Waleo is spelled W-A-L-E-O. Podbeam is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. We are also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Stiller Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Stiller Fan.
Also, the phone lines are open. Please feel free to give us a call at 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. And also, if you're able, please contribute to our friend Ron, a.k.a. Mega, his family. He passed away unexpectedly and way too early. He has two beautiful children, one who's already born, Aaliyah. And one
Jordan will be on the way in a couple in like maybe 3 months.
Yeah, who's on the way? So go to the website www.gofundme.com/CBT730.
Thank you, my man Will Tate. All right, the Redskins Jaguars. Did you watch the game? What did you think of parts of the game?
Well, I watched the game up until 3 o'clock until the FIBA World Cup Basketball Championship came on.
Oh, yeah, you watched that over my Redskins. Okay. All right, I'm gonna talk about the game then.
I saw enough. I saw enough of the game.
All right, go ahead.
My thoughts are, I've never seen this team get 10 sacks before. Two, with Jason Hatcher, you actually have a dominant defensive lineman who can crush the pocket. You haven't had that in probably 20 years since the last Super Bowl.
You mean inside?
Inside, oh, yeah. You haven't had a dominant defensive lineman inside in 20 years. Yeah. So that's a surprise.
You're not talking about Sean Gilbert was pretty good, though.
Sean Gilbert was a name. Dana Stubblefield was a name. Big Daddy Wilkerson was a name.
Big Daddy Wilkerson.
He had one year.
He played good for us. Actually, Stubblefield was some garbage. Gilbert was cool.
I think Gilbert never lived up to the contract.
But Big Daddy was actually solid.
He was pretty solid, but he didn't live up to the contract.
Of course, he played better in Cincy than he did over here. Yeah.
Okay, so I think that's something you haven't had since 91.
Yeah. Well, it's still short. Yeah, I mean, it's a short window, but I know what you're saying. Yeah.
David Amerson really is starting to come on. He looks like he could be your next cover, one of the better cover corners in the league. The run game under Jay Gruden looks just like the run game under Shanahan. It looks very impressive, extremely impressive. Now, Ryan Grant, that kid's going to be a player in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
He could potentially be your number one receiver in the next 2 or 3 years.
Possibility. Lack speed, though, to be a true.
Pierre Garçon looked pissed off.
Yeah, because he wasn't getting touches.
He didn't get any targets. And finally, last but certainly not least, Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
He looks like he's going to be the leader of this thing going on, and looks like it's a potential quarterback controversy. And DC does quarterback controversy better than anyone because this town is dysfunctional, from the sports to the politics.
The sports to the politics.
Absolutely. So I think over the next 7 to 8 weeks, you know, lock in, get ready, have fun, because there's a quarterback controversy brewing. And I'm going to enjoy every second of it.
Well, let me talk about my thoughts of the game. One, Will mentioned the defense. Defense was it was outstanding. To have, obviously, Will mentioned Hatcher. Hatcher had a great game, ball to the wall. But obviously, Ryan Kerrigan had 4 sacks, which was impressive. Go ahead.
One thing. Where was Brian Arakpo at?
He had a sack.
He had a sack.
That's good. A sack. That's a sack.
Yeah, he getting paid $10 million.
Brian Arakpo, if you watch the game, I watched all the game. He tackled the running back for losses. He was in the backfield consistently. He did his job. I mean, he had a sack. You know what I mean?
Okay.
He did his job. He was on the strong side. He's going against the strong left tackle. He did his job.
You said you're one of the 5 best pass rushers in the game, buddy.
He had a sack. What do you want from a guy? You can't have a 3-sack
game. You're getting paid $10 million a year. You stated, and he said himself, I'm one of the 5 best pass rushers in the league.
And he did it. He got a sack. A sack a game is pretty good to me. If you get a sack a game, he had once. He didn't get a sack the first game. He had a sack now. If he consistently gets a couple of sacks, he will have 16 games and 15 games in the season. He gets a sack in the next. If he gets a sack in every game, he'll have 15 sacks.
Okay.
All right.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just wanted to bring up his name.
He did something. Okay. He's Nigerian, and I've stuck up for my Nigerians.
Okay.
He got a sack.
Okay.
All right. So he was in the
continue.
Book.
Continue. I'm gonna sit back and
appreciate
let you talk.
So Ryan Kerrigan, who I was impressed with, 4 sacks, and the man was a man child. And Hatcher makes it easy for Ryan Kerrigan. Well, let me get credit where credit's due. Hatcher, Baker, and Jenkins make it easy for people like Brian Arakpo and Ryan Kerrigan to do work. This line, Jarvis Jenkins is the Jarvis Jenkins I saw his rookie year before the ACL. You see what Hatcher's doing. And Baker is a beast. Chris Baker inside is a beast. When Cofield gets healthy, he should be on the bench and be part of the rotation. But he shouldn't be starting. This line right now is special. It's a damaging line. And even when you put in Curse, Gathers, it's the youth, it's speed. They're versatile within the 3 down linemen. This team, I mean, this line in terms of in the 3-4, I think definitely has the 3-4 he wants. You know what I mean? And Keenan Robinson is a big, and I mean big, upgrade compared to London Fletcher. I mean, the guy can cover. The guy runs sideline to sideline. He's fast. He's smart. He allows Perry Riley to now be able to play in coverage. Not playing coverage, but be able to rush the passer on blitzes, because Perry Riley is a better blitzer. Perry Riley is now free to go tackle folks behind the backfield. I think Perry Riley can do more. Perry Riley is now pressured to do what London couldn't do because Keenan Robinson can do it. He has the range to do it. So even it makes Perry Riley better. You mentioned Amerson. Amerson is is going to be a stud. I won't lie to you. D Hall does not look good. All right, D Hall does not look good. He got beat. Really, Hearns should have had a touchdown on him. He had beat deep. Hearns dropped the ball. D Hall doesn't look good. He doesn't look like last season. He looked better last season than he does this year. And we all know Rambo got cut this afternoon because of his poor play.
Bakari Rambo was really exposed these first 2 games of the season.
Yeah, but Will, let's just go over to Will. What Will was referring to is RG3. RG3, I feel bad for him because the
RG3 surgeries on his leg.
Yeah,
that's what I call it.
Well, Al calls it RG because the 3 is about to be forgotten. but for Robert Griffin, I'm called Robert Griffin. Right now he's not signed for a contract.
Robert Griffin. Man,
see how quick they bail on you?
No, I'm just saying. No, and that's a problem I have people, but I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to get into that later. But Robert Griffin, I feel
he
bad for
Robin because Russell's Kirk Cousins is Batman. He is a sidekick.
No. But anyway, he played good. People forget he was playing well before he got hurt. Like, the dude looked good. He was like RG3 again.
He looked good. You know why? Because they ran the read option.
Yeah, I'm agreeing. But like, they ran the read option. He looked good again. I mean, he was confident. He made throws. He was accurate. He had his mojo. He had his swag back. And all of a sudden, you know, he twisted that ankle, which, you know, it was dislocated. So, I feel bad for him. He played great. Till that, I mean, that pass to DeSean Jackson was a completion. I don't know what the referee was doing on that replay, but it was a completion, and he looked good. And all of a sudden, he got hurt, and Kirk Cousins took over.
Yeah, so now it's the Kirk Cousins era.
Yeah, now it is, but it is right now. It is. I mean, it's the truth. He's hurt, but I mean, he didn't fracture it, which is cool. The reports are he'd be out 8 weeks. Eight weeks isn't bad. But by that time, I wouldn't play him because, you know, I'm hoping that Kirk Cousins is playing well, and I'm not trying to damage the kid's future.
Let's play the scenario, the what-if game. All
right, we can play that.
Okay. He's out 8 weeks, right?
Uh-huh.
So Washington is 1-1 now.
Yeah.
Let's say Kirk Cousins goes 5-3 with 12 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. And the offense stays on schedule, which means...
How much are we averaging?
You're averaging 28 points a game.
So Kirk Cousins, put it like this, Kirk Cousins is playing well.
Kirk Cousins is playing well. He has this offense on schedule moving. Yeah. The play action, the stretch run is working. Kirk Cousins looks like you're able to run the full playbook with him.
Mm-hmm.
Does RG3 surgeries? Get his
you already gotta be this thorough, man. It's RG3 surgeries. You don't gotta be this name, man.
Does RG3 surgeries get his job back?
Shoot.
Remember.
No, he's playing well, no.
Yeah, you're five. So over this eight game
record?
Span.
What's the record? Are we fighting for a wild card?
Let's say you go 5-3. So that would put you at 6-4.
All right, 6-4. No.
Put you at 6-4. You're in contention. Or you're tied for the NFC East lead. And it looks like you'll either get the NFC East, you'll wrap up the division, or you're in line for a wild card position. Does RG3 surgeries get his position back?
No, just call him Robert Griffin.
Call him Rob. I'll call him Bobby.
Just call him Robert Griffin.
I'll call him Bobby.
I'll call him Rob.
I'll call him Bobby.
No, that's disrespectful.
It's not, not
that's
disrespectful.
That's not his name. That's like, I call you Bob. I'm not going to disrespect you.
No, Bob is short for Robert.
I thought it was still for William.
Mm-mm. Bill is short for William.
Bill, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I call him Bob.
Okay, that's cool. Whatever. Call him Robert. No, he shouldn't start. But I have it goes both ways. It's more, you don't want to ruin with the team's rhythm, period, on the offensive side of the ball. And honestly, you know, we learned from what happened to RG3 a couple years ago. He's a liar. I mean, he is a liar. He'll tell you that he's healthy, and he's not. I'm not going to hold that against him because all players lie about their health, especially when they feel like somebody's about to take their job. So he will lie and he will rush back. I would just sit him back.
All right, let's play the second scenario. Kirk Cousins looks average. The team is contending for a playoff spot. Offensive line isn't holding up.
Yeah.
Bob wants to come back.
Yeah.
He's healthy. He looks healthy. Do you play him?
Does he look healthy?
Yes, he looks healthy.
Oh yeah, I play Robert.
Even with a bad offensive line?
What's bad?
Tyler Columbus has given up at least that right side has given up a lot of pressures and at least one sack a game.
So that's bad. I'm still starting because I know Jay Groom's going to change it up now. He's going to change it up to use Robert Griffin the way in a pistol in a pistol or read option way to a point where he can protect himself. Because we all, to me, the read option does protect him. Except, I mean, Robert Griffin just makes the wrong decisions in terms of taking hits, but it does protect him.
Okay, now I'm going to go with my third scenario, which kind of adds on to the first one.
Okay.
Captain Kirk is playing lights out.
Gotcha.
Over that 8-game stretch, go 7-1.
Ooh, that's awesome. That's
7-1 with 15 touchdowns and 4 interceptions.
You do know this easy, right?
Hold on. You look like you're going to wrap up the number one spot in the playoffs. But Robert comes back. All the prognosticators are predicting that this is a team that could go to at least the NFC Championship game with Kirk Cousins behind the wheel of this offense. Do you let Robert Griffin come back and become Robert Griffin the third, come back in and be the quarterback?
No. You just said 7-1.
Yeah.
I said it's easy. 7-1. Hell no. The 7-1 is different. That's like,
even
no
if
way.
There's some griping.
He can cry all he wants. Selfish. All right, let's be real. Like, I'm a diehard Redskins fan, and this is for all Redskins fans. We have to understand this. Robert Griffin III is part of the Washington Redskins. I am a fan of RG3, but before RG3 came to D.C., I was a diehard Redskins fan. When RG3 leaves the Washington Redskins, I will be a diehard Redskins fan. That will not change. It will never change. So if RG3 is 7-1, if Kirk Cousins is 7-1 as a starter, he starts. If Kirk Cousins struggles, he struggles and doesn't look good, and RG3 is deemed 100%. You know what I mean? Deemed 100%. And really is 100%. Not that BS he did a couple years ago when he came back for the Eagles and was hobbling. I mean, when he's 100%, then yes, he should start. If that's Kirk Cousins is playing like some garbage. All right?
What if Kirk Cousins is playing average and the defense is lights out and takes you to a 7-1 record?
And the defense is taking us. Again, if Kirk Cousins isn't playing great ball, RG3 should get his job back.
Okay.
A healthy RG3 should get his job back. You know what I mean? Not a RG3 who's like, you know, walking, hobbling around. I want RG3 100%. If he ain't 100% this season, he sits out the whole year. We can stop this whole controversy talk this season and just say sit out the whole year and have a point where, you know, Kirk Cousins gets traded in the offseason. But that's neither here nor there. I'm just saying, like, RG3 to me shouldn't play the season. In my opinion, he just shouldn't play the season, period.
I totally agree with you, but we both know that won't happen, and ultimately, Robert Griffin.
Why won't happen? I don't get why we won't.
Well, because Robert Griffin, you know what the flow chart of that organization is?
Snyder.
It's Snyder. Then there's Bruce Allen.
Yeah, and both of them like an RG3, right?
And then RG3, up under.
Not even that. You do know who likes it. You do know both of those dudes like RG3, though.
Yeah.
So that's all. So
what I'm saying is, if he wants to come back and play,
yeah,
he will go and talk to the owner and talk to the general manager and go above Jay Gruden's head and say, I'm playing. Here's why. Because I have the owner and the general manager in my back pocket.
But this is the thing for me, which I kind of think is hilarious, is that, like, for Redskins fans who love Kirk Cousins, you all do know, like, which is hilarious. Even if RG3 doesn't play the season, he probably won't play, and he shouldn't play the season. And I think Snyder and Bruce Allen won't let him play the season just because of what happened with Shanahan. I think they have that in the back of their mind. You do know in the offseason, Kirk Cousins getting traded, though, right? You all do know this.
Yeah,
like, Colt McCoy came here for a reason.
Yeah, I absolutely. I think you everyone knows this. Everyone knows that.
I mean, this is Kirk Cousins' opportunity, to be told, and all praise him to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I hope he takes advantage of it. But you do know that he won't be the starting quarterback for the Washington Redskins next season.
I mean, if he takes this team to the NFC Championship game and lights it up and is a Pro Bowler,
he will be. Listen to me. If he wins the Super Bowl, he gets the Super Bowl and wins it, he's got a job.
Where?
In Washington.
Okay. What if NFC Championship?
No, that's not even good enough.
It's not good enough for a team that hasn't even sniffed the playoffs.
No.
That hasn't gone that deep in the playoffs for 20
Allen,
years.
Bruce Allen and Daniel Snyder really believe in RG3.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying. If he wins the Super Bowl, though, that everything's changed. everything's changed.
You will get mutiny in the streets if
Kirk
Cousins takes this team to the NFC Championship game. And this team this team loses on a miracle field goal that isn't his fault. He plays consistent throughout and plays.
I know what you're saying. But I'm telling you, if we don't win, if he gets us to the NFC Championship game, RG3 is coming back.
Okay.
All right. And he will have an opportunity. He will be the starter that the following season.
I think he should have the opportunity to compete for the starting position.
Alex Smith took the San Francisco 49ers to the NFC Championship game.
Correct.
Didn't was it his fault to me that they lost?
Right.
But he didn't really struggle. He got hurt. He didn't really struggle he got hurt though. Yeah, I know he got hurt and then he lost his job. But he really wasn't playing bad football. He's playing good football.
Yeah, he was playing efficient
football. Yeah. Lost his job to a guy who they just liked more.
But this is the thing. When it comes to Colin Kaepernick and Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick was Jim Harbaugh's guy. That's who he drafted.
Yeah, exactly.
Alex Smith, he inherited.
That's true. So you're trying to say what's the name?
So what I'm saying is Jay Gruden.
Okay,
neither one of them are really his guy because he didn't draft either one of them.
But let's be real with the situation. The reason why Jay Gruden got the job
was to develop RG3 as a quarterback.
Okay, so Jay Gruden is here because of one person. To be honest with you, he's here. Not because of Kirk Cousins. He's here for RG3. The ownership and general manager brought him here, not because they thought that he could make just the team better. Here for RG3.
Well, what if he goes and says, I've developed you, your franchise quarterback. Look what I've done with Kirk.
They're going to be like, we brought you here for Robert.
Okay.
That's my opinion. We brought you here for Robert. Jay Gruden's the head coach for this team because of Robert Griffin III. It's not for anything else. But anyway, speaking of RG3, we just talked about Kirk Cousins. Do you feel that RG3 is the future of the organization? You know where I stand with this, so.
Yes, because of all you've invested in
him. Of course. Exactly.
And because Daniel Snyder is a marketing guy, and what he's always wanted is that personality and that franchise quarterback with that personality that kind of – with the charisma that RG3 surgeries has. So, yes, I do think he has a future with this organization.
I will not even argue that. Your point is what I agree with. But let's go to Kirk Cousins. Do you believe that Kirk Cousins is the future, could be the future of this organization?
I think if he does the things that I've stated, kind of he plays lights out and takes this team to the NFC Championship game, he could be the future. You'll be pressed with a very hard decision. Do you take potential? Or do you take the guy that's proven and has done what you've wanted?
All I'm going to say is Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers. Both people can win. Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers. You just make your choice. I don't think – and the Chargers don't regret letting Drew Brees go. I mean, no, he won a championship, but they don't really regret it.
I don't – you can – yeah.
They don't really regret it. I know he won a championship, but they don't really regret it.
Yeah, I don't think they do. I don't think they have, but – okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just different organization. I don't think they regret – keeping letting Breeze go over Rivers at all. My thing is that I think Cousins showed me who he was last season. He's okay. He makes mistakes. He's days when he's not accurate.
But you can, I think we both can agree that he does have better talent around him this year than last year.
And I'm going to say this again. Kirk Cousins, and this is what, you know, I said the same thing about RG3. I'm very consistent with anything. With the weapons this team has offensively, healthy, DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, you see what Ryan Grant can do. We already know about the running back situation with Alfred Morris and Roy Helu. Even, you know, with now it's Paul being the starting tight end due to Jordan Reed being hurt. This team is deep. This team has weapons. He doesn't have to do that much for this team to score points. And if the defense plays to this level, to a high level, this team, he has an opportunity to win games. He doesn't have to be lights out for this team to win. RG3 didn't have to be lights out for this team to win. He just didn't have to make. He just couldn't make mistakes. It's totally different. You can't make mistakes with this. This Redskins team can't make mistakes at the quarterback position. And if they don't make mistakes in the quarterback position, this team can win games thoroughly. All right. This defense looks good enough and aggressive enough to win games. So that's my thing. But Kirk Cousins doesn't have to be lights out at all for this team to win. So if Kirk Cousins feels like if Kirk Cousins goes to a point where he thinks he has to be Captain Kirk. this team's going to lose games. If he goes to the situation, you know what? All I got to do is do my job. Put the ball in the playmaker's hands, like Pierre Garçon, Deshaun Jackson. Let them do work. Then he's fine. And it's going to be up to Jay Gruden too. Jay Gruden has to utilize Morris. He has to utilize Roy Helu. You know, he got to utilize these guys for this team to win games.
But I think one of the knocks against Jay Gruden in Cincinnati was he didn't properly utilize all the tools he had.
Totally agree.
Because if you think about it, he had Tyler Eifert and Jermaine Gresham. If you look that those what he has now with Niles Paul and Jordan Reed can be very dangerous if used correctly.
I'm sorry. Let me put this out there. Well, Niles Paul is garbage. I'm sorry. I just had to say that.
No, I mean he's starting to learn the position. He's starting to become a better route runner. He's starting to react and not think.
Yeah, Niles Paul.
If he can improve on what he's shown you.
Yeah.
Over these last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I agree with you though. You see what you saw him? Have you ever seen? Did you see him drop that pass?
Yeah, I saw the highlight. Yeah.
All right, that's who Niles Paul really is. Niles Paul really is. That's what he really is.
I mean.
Niles, I mean, you probably don't listen to the show. I don't really care. But thank you for having a good game. That's all I'm going to say. I won't forget that fumble you had against the Texans, though. I don't forget negative plays. But real quick, I'm going to read a Facebook comment from my man George on our Urban Sports Scene page on Facebook. It says, Sally, it is a wait and see now. RG3 he's referring to RG3 as a franchise quarterback and Kirk Cousins is the possible franchise quarterback. RG3 has now had two significant lower body injuries, one on each leg. Yes, you can let him and Kirk Cousins play it out through next year, but that is not only a recipe for a toxic situation in the locker room. You could handle it bad enough that you keep neither of them and have to start all over at quarterback. Then you got a lot. So you know what? I'm going to read this later. It's a lot. It's like a paragraph, George. Actually, not a paragraph. George is a whole page. All right. SAT, like an SAT summary. This thing is real. All right, George. I'm going to read it later to myself, not on the show, because it's kind of long. But, George, I know what you're saying, though. It could be a toxic situation. I read it earlier. Still love you, my man. You're a cool dude. Just can't do it right now. Where are we at in a sec? We're at the defense. Let's go to defense. All right. You saw the defense. 10 sacks. Very impressed with my defense. Was Jacksonville that bad or the defense that impressive?
I think all signs point to Jacksonville being that bad.
Of course you would.
No, I'm just being serious because – okay. Like no, listen.
Of course you would.
Nah, because they scored 17 against the Eagles and then were shut out after scoring the 17 points, after the Eagles made some adjustments. Washington, Ryan Kerrigan, it was like a turnstile over there on the right side.
Strong side.
With that right left tackle. What the hell am I saying?
With the right tackle.
Yeah. They weren't able. The run game has been non-existent through the first 2 weeks with Toby Gerhart, which is killing a lot of fantasy football owners. Not me, because I didn't draft him.
I won last week.
Oh, I'm okay.
A beast.
Oh, that's what's up. And then they don't have any consistent receiving threats because Cecil Shorts the third is out. And also,
Blackman's still smoking weed.
Yeah, he's somewhere getting drunk and smoking weed. Alan Hearn has been the only guy that's really produced.
They got Marquise Lee.
Yeah, they have some Marquise Lee and Robinson.
The other rookie.
But they haven't shown up yet, improved anything.
Lockdown.
So I think the jury is still out on the Washington's defense, but it has looked impressive over the first 2 weeks to me.
This is what I'm gonna tell you, and this is the realest thing ever, and it's the truth. And maybe because I, you know, as coaches, we both coach, you know, coach basketball. We coach on the same staff in basketball. But what are you supposed to do to a bad team? What's the mark of a good team to do what they do to a bad team?
You dominate. You put your foot on their throat and you don't let it.
That's what that defense did. The defense put their foot on that offensive throat and didn't give them any hope. You know, then they punished them. And that to me, that's a sign of a good defense. To me, an average defense, even against a bad team, will give that offense room to think like, okay, we can score points against this defense. But a dominating defense, a good defense plays a poor team and treats him like a hoe. Treats him like a hoe. And that's what we did. We took that offense and said, okay, put the baby powder in my hand. All right. Pimp Hand Strong. That's what we did to him. Pimp Hand Strong. And in my opinion, that's what it was. That's what it needed to be. So that when you, and that's when a team plays a bad team, you treat that hoe like a prostitute. That's what we do.
I wouldn't have used such graphic language as you, but I think nevertheless you got your point across.
I'm just saying. So, but I was happy with the defense. Let's go another part of defense. So right now, defense is, I believe, is ranked number one in the NFL. Can they continue to play? Can you continue this play, or I guess you're thinking that it's more of a fluke?
I'm not saying it's a fluke. I'm not. And I stated, you know, when we were talking before the season started, I think the defense is going to be the strength of this team this year. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying it's fluke. I'm just saying don't expect 10 sacks every game.
No one expects 10 sacks.
Don't expect 5 sacks every game.
Well, I do expect 3 to 5.
Two to four, possibly, yes.
Constant pressure.
Consistent pressure from Hatcher up the middle, yes. I will say that. If Hatcher stays healthy and Keenan Robinson is able to fly around mm-hmm. in coverage.
Kerrigan and Arakpo do their thing.
Kerrigan and Arakpo meet at the quarterback. Yeah. You can have some positive things for this team. But
Injuries will play a part too as well. Injuries and depth. That too.
Is this the best defense in the NFL? No. The best defense in the NFL relies on, no, Carolina.
Yeah, they get at it.
Carolina's nasty. Even without their best defensive lineman.
Hardy. They get at it.
Without their best defensive lineman.
They still got the middle linebacker.
That's why I said their best defensive lineman. Luke Kuechly is their best defensive player.
Yeah,
but Carolina, to me, just what I've seen the first 2 weeks of
watch
the season.
Watch out, man. Watch out for the Washington Redskins defense. I think they'll make a name for themselves.
Yeah.
Obviously we go off of what happened last season, but this season is a new season. And if you look at it with a blind eye in terms of not knowing what happened last season, you would say that this defense is right.
They're unshackled this year.
Yeah, they're unshackled. And you saw, I mean, even against the Texans, they look good. They weren't to blame for that loss in this game too. So I get the Eagles are a big test for them, which they do have next. The Eagles, which we'll be talking about like right now. The Eagles are coming. The Redskins are going to Philadelphia to play the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. We all know about LeSean McCoy. How can this defense stop LeSean McCoy? If they can't stop Sean McCoy,
Arakpo has to maintain his gap responsibilities. He cannot come crashing down the line because LeSean McCoy is going to make him embarrass him again. As he's done
numerous times.
Yeah, with those Barry Sanders like jump cuts and, you know, the jukes and everything. So everyone has to stay and maintain their lane, rushing the lane. Then, two, you got to find a way to combat some of the personnel packages that the Eagles are using. I don't know if you had a chance to see the game yesterday.
Yeah, I watched the game.
Yeah, but John Gruden was in amazement with the three tight end.
Spider monkey.
No, with the three tight end, two running back packages that the Eagles were using.
Yeah.
And also the ways that they were using Darren Sproles.
Yeah, well, Darren Sproles looked dangerous.
He looked very dangerous.
On that team, I guess the Colts defense, which is to me is a lackluster defense anyway, but, you know, and they got away with a murder in that game. We'll talk about that one. Actually, the next segment.
Okay.
How they got away with murder. But, yeah, LeSean McCoy terrifies me. I won't lie. Everybody has to have containment. If the Redskins can do what they did against Arian Foster in terms of getting into the backfield, because the Eagles' offensive line looks like it's decimated with some injuries. And they didn't look
– Just that right side.
The right side. It didn't look strong. The Colts, like, they got pressure often. On that right side, they got pressure often on that right side. Mm-hmm. So it bodes well for Kerrigan. It does. It bodes well for Kerrigan against that team and Hatcher as well. So to me, they have to get out. They have to get pushing that right side, and hopefully, you know, be able to, once they get around there, they have to corral LeSean McCoy, which is easier said than done. We didn't mention earlier that DeSean Jackson was hurt also in that Jacksonville game, but he gets an opportunity playing against his former team. He had an AC joint sprain. And it's all about how much pain he could tolerate. So we know he's going to shoot up. All right, he's going to shoot up. He's going to play in this game.
Most likely he'll play in this game, but I think that Chip Kelly's a mad scientist, so he kind of knows some of DeSean Jackson's.
He's not Andy Reid. He don't know DeSean like that.
I know that staff does.
The staff does.
So they'll find a way to try to minimize his ability to get down the field and beat him deep, running the nine routes and things of that nature. But I do see DeSean Jackson playing. Mm-hmm. He's hell bent on playing just to get some revenge, especially in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely has a chip on his shoulder. He has some things that he wants to show Chip Kelly and some of the fans who weren't supportive of him, you know, during his last days there.
For me, DeSean Jackson is definitely going to play. And if the Eagles, from what I saw against the Colts, they like to blitz. So I think it's going to be opportunity for DeSean Jackson to have man coverage, probably against Kerry Williams. I believe it'll probably be Kerry Williams. And we'll see how that plays out. I'm sure Kerry Williams will try to press DeSean Jackson. If DeSean Jackson can beat it and get deep, there will be a big play for him to have. It's up to Kirk Cousins to deliver it on time, because the Eagles will blitz. I know. I see.
Oh, absolutely.
The Eagles will blitz, and they will blitz, and they will. And so there will be opportunities for a big play in that ball game. And expect DeSean Jackson will be open. It's up to Kirk Cousins to give him the ball.
And expect that blitz to come off of the right side against Tyler Plumbus.
Oh, yeah, Tyler Plumbus, the most garbage right tackle in football.
I don't know why Morgan Moses hasn't been given the
opportunity.
Because
Morgan Moses, he reports where he looked bad in training camp, but in the preseason games, he looked good. He looked good in preseason games. So we'll see. He's still a project, supposedly. He's a project. Can Kirk Cousins dissect the Eagles? I mean, the Eagles defense. I already mentioned the blitzes, or are they better suited running the football against the Eagles defense?
I think you're better suited running the football and getting the play action going. I haven't seen Kirk. I don't know how Kirk Cousins will handle pressure, especially pressure from coming from everywhere, from multiple angles. We all know that he does, you know, pre-snap. He's better than Robert Griffin with reading the defense and identifying where the blitz is coming from and either shifting the protection or knowing the hot route and who to get the ball to. So we do know he's better than that at Robert Griffin. So he does have that advantage for him coming into this game.
So I agree. I think this team is better off running the football. You saw what the Colts were able to do on the ground with Bradshaw and Trent Richardson. You got Helu and Alfred Morris, an opportunity to control the game with a clock, because you know how the Eagles are going to play. The Eagles are going to try to speed up the process with their up-tempo style. So I would definitely pound Alfred Morris and Roy Helu in this
pound
moment.
Alfred Morris?
I knew, gonna say that. I knew it. It sounded right. I knew once I said it, I was like, damn. I said pound. Run Alfred Morris often. That sounds better.
I think it does.
It sounds a lot better. Anyway, let's get some predictions. I'll let you go first. Who wins this game?
I'm going to go with Philadelphia, reluctantly.
I know you.
I'm reluctantly going with Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia, their ability to run the ball, and also I just think they'll be – Chip Kelly will create opportunities with the formations and, you know, the bubble – you know, with the wide receiver running a bubble screen and then also sending a guy to run a nine route. And, you know, it's multiple personnel packages. And, you know, he does one thing. They only do a couple of things, but they do those couple of things great. So I think that execution, Washington won't be able, you know, with so many young players, or not necessarily with so many young players, but without, you know, this is Brandon Merriweather's first game back. So, you know, he'll be prone to making a mistake or going for a big hit that the Eagles will be able to capitalize off. So I'm saying 24-17, Philadelphia.
I'm going to go to Washington. Of course, I'm a diehard Redskins fan, and I'm the homer. But I will say this is the best defense the Eagles have played this season so far. Played Jacksonville and they played the Colts. This will be the best defense they've seen thus far, and I think the Washington Reds will be up for the task. They got to see this offense last season. And I think they got better in the second game around when they played this offense. So, and honestly, we got their weapon. One of the weapons that used to terrify us, and DeSean Jackson. Will knows this. And they still have the other one, LeSean McCoy. So I'm going to go with the Redskins. Win this game 27-17.
Oh, okay.
So I have the Skins win this game. Anyway, it's about time for commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking about some of the Week 2 notables in the NFL. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
My life is full of statistics. thing is, I could have dropped out of school and become one myself, but I didn't, because I had people that believed in me. Here's another statistic. 7,000 students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. It's time that students know that we believe in them.
Inspire a student and share your message of support at boostup.org.
Turn down for what? All right, just to give you all an update, the Nets are up 2-0 against the Atlanta Braves, top of the seventh inning. So it looks like there's a possibility that the Nets could clinch the NL East tonight in Atlanta. And we talked about that earlier in the show, which would be huge for this organization and the fan base and the psyche of this team going into the playoffs.
It's always good to beat your enemies.
Rivals. I wouldn't call them enemies. Yeah, rivals. Enemies. Okay.
It's war. It's war in life. Somebody against you, they want to be. They want to get you. They get got. That's your enemies. It's good to beat them. Beat them in their home, in their own home, so the crowd can see it and mad, be mad and cry, shed tears, throw popcorn and stuff at you. It's okay. Great. All right. So it's always
all good. Of that stuff.
Exactly. And they have people want to fight you. It's great.
All Believe of that.
Me, I know that my kids play Beltsville. They want to fight us. It's great. It's lovely.
Crazy dude.
Anyways, we two notables, man. The Eagles, last night, the Eagles came back and beat the Colts. You watched the game?
Yeah, I watched the majority of it.
So, there's a question. The Eagles, were, I mean, the Colts, I believe, were up with 22.
They were up 14 points. They had a 14-point lead.
14-point lead. Obviously, they had an important, they had a big interception. Andrew Luck threw that interception. Which seemed to be an illegal contact that which wasn't called.
Well, I think the ref did the right thing, because if you look at it, at the top of that route, T.Y. Hilton had his arm extended trying to gain separation.
Okay.
And also you had, I believe it was Kerry Williams who
Kerry
was on
Williams,
him,
Kerry
who
Williams.
Also had his arm extended. So the natural thing to do is to let that one go.
Yeah.
But the result of a play was an interception. So, you know, it's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Well, it's just going off of what this league has been doing, what the league has been doing the whole, you know, throughout the last, you know, these 2 weeks and even in preseason, they've been calling that an intentional, I mean, well, you know, what's it called? Illegal contact. They've been calling that call the whole year, well, for 2 weeks in preseason. You know what I mean? So that's the interest. And it led, like you said, led to an interception. And then we can go to the play with LeRon Landry, which they called a horse collar.
Yeah,
which
was he just grabbed the back of his jersey.
Which wasn't a horse collar. What led to the drive.
Yeah, 15-yard.
Yeah, 15-yard penalty. So, you know, it's like, damn, did the Eagles really win that game, or did the refs help them out?
Well, this is the thing. If you had a play better, you wouldn't have put yourself in that position.
There you go. That's
so
true.
You had the opportunity to put your foot on their throat, as we stated, but the Colts didn't do that.
Well, let's go to you mentioned Sproles in the last segment. How awesome is this tandem Sproles and McCoy?
It creates matchup problems for you, because, you know, if you put both of them in the backfield together, then you have to account for them with either a linebacker with two linebackers that'll be overmatched. Then if you just go with Sproles in the slot, there's no linebacker and very few safeties that'll be able to keep up with him. So, and with Chip Kelly, the way he calls the game and the personnel packages he uses, very dangerous. You know, I think that Darren Sproles compensates for not having DeSean Jackson as that deep threat. The way that Chip Kelly uses his offense, he's found a way to maximize Darren Sproles' strengths and get him on matchups against linebackers and safeties. So
yeah, basically, Sproles is a steady mismatch.
Yep.
You got McCoy, who is Shady McCoy, shifty. You have two shifty individuals, and once you have, you know, you got a McCoy. I mean, Sproles is actually the one running back that I feel like is actually a real receiving running back. Not these running backs who catch screens. They always said, like, he can catch out the backfield. I mean, he's actually a running back. We actually catch out of the backfield.
Yeah.
And so he's a problem. He's a problem against linebackers. He's a problem against safeties. He's just a problem. And once he gets the ball in his hands, especially you got him isolated. I believe they ran a wheel route with him against one of the linebackers for a big game in the game against the Colts. He's a mismatch. You can't have him in space. You just can't have him in space against a linebacker. You won't win.
Nope.
But anyway, yeah, that's one of the major tandems in the NFL. I'm going to be interested to see how that tandem works out throughout the season. Especially, you know, you're playing them both and with big minutes. Big minutes. If one goes down, how will that change the dynamic of that Philadelphia Eagles offense?
Yeah.
Let's go down to a big game that happened or upset. The Chargers beating the Seahawks over the weekend.
Is it really an upset?
Not to me, but a lot of people, you know, they've built Seattle into this team that, like, this mega power team that can't be beat. And we know that Seattle can't win. Seattle isn't good on the road anyway. So, but anyway, Rivers went at Richard Sherman, and also Chargers wide receiver Keenan Allen said Sherman isn't a shutdown corner. Is Sherman overrated?
No, absolutely not. I don't think he's overrated. Richard Sherman doesn't give up big plays. Every wide receiver is going to make catches on a cornerback. I think because of how much Richard Sherman runs his mouth, he makes himself public enemy number one. So when a receiver catches a pass on him, it's a huge deal. But if you just look at his stats, you look at the completion over his career, the completion percentage for quarterbacks against Richard Sherman. It's only quarterbacks only complete like 30% of their passes against Richard Sherman when he's in coverage. So I'm not going to say he's a shutdown corner because there is no shutdown corner in today's NFL, but he's pretty close to it.
Richard Sherman's overrated, I'll say it. He's overrated. God bless Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor. That's all I'm saying. God bless them.
Cause that Chancellor was getting abused.
I know, but we playing against Antonio Gates. You damn right he's gonna get abused. Know why he got abused by Antonio Gates? Because he's on my fantasy team. That's why. But I'm just saying, like, having safeties like that makes your life easy. You have an intimidator, and then you have a guy who can just play all ends of the world at safety, and it makes Richard Sherman better. I mean, it makes him a better cornerback, knowing that he has that going for him. And to be honest with you, they play a lot of two deep anyway. So Richard Sherman does get beat. He has a safety over top. Usually, it's not like Revis. That's what I'm gonna understand. Richard Sherman is not like Revis. When Revis was with the Jets, that was an island. Revis, everybody on the other side. That's everybody rolls over that way. Sherman doesn't even. Like, you remember the Seahawks play? I mean the NFC Championship game against Crabtree. He had somebody over top him. He made a play, but he had somebody over top. It wasn't traditional man up coverage. He had somebody over top.
Yeah, they play a lot of cover three.
Cover three. So I'm saying, like, it's not like Sherman is locked down, man up. I'm gonna take this side. You're done. He's not that cornerback. You know what I mean? To me, when we talk about shutdown, that's shutdown. Champ Bailey was on an island. Revis was on an island. Darryl Green was on an island. Deion Sanders, of course, was on an island. Those dudes are on islands. Richard Sherman gets help. Now, Richard Sherman does a great job with his help. Don't get wrong. He does a great job. He's around that individual. He's not getting beat. He's around that individual, except for T.Y. Hilton, who got him last year. But he's around that individual, okay? But Sherman's mouth dictates to the world that he's a shutdown corner. There's cornerbacks I feel like that if they had the safety play that he has, they would be just as good. I don't care. I think Joe Hayden is just as good as Richard Sherman.
Well, I think for what Seattle asked him to do,
yeah,
he does it at a very high level.
Even Maxwell is good with the Seattle, and he's, to me, is an average cornerback.
Yeah, well, as I stated, I still think Richard Sherman's the best in the game.
All praise to Phillip Rivers for going at him, and I'm glad y'all tried to go at him in the slot and put Keenan Allen in the slot with him. That way he couldn't get that much safety help because it showed, like, he can get exposed that way.
Yeah,
put him in the slot. If you get Sherman in the slot, well, he doesn't get that easy help over top with the sideline. You'll see what happens. And Keenan Allen, like, freaked him on routes. Why? There's nobody having your back. Nobody's going to have your back right there. He got freaked.
Okay.
Looked like Bobo the Fool. That's right. Talk about that. Best in the world. fake ass Muhammad Ali. Come on. the Bears, on Sunday night, the Bears went into the Niners' new home, Levi's Stadium, and got a W. Kaepernick kind of struggled in that game.
Kind of is an understatement.
Had three turnovers. Do you think Kaepernick is ready to be the overall leader of the offense, or are they better suited with just handing the ball off to Frank Gore in that running game and making that team, making that part of their game dictate for the offense?
I think this team is built to run. The running game kind of dictates to what they want to do on the passing game. I think Kaepernick is ready to make that next step. You know, as with most young quarterbacks, he still has to learn. There are a number of things he has to learn. But if I'm a 49ers fan, I feel very comfortable with Kaepernick as the leader of that franchise going forward.
For me, I look at this. I look at the Niners team, and I just think they're better suited just hand the ball off to Frank Gore. This team wants to win a championship. This team is ready to win a championship. And when they get healthy, they'll be even better. Frank Gore was eaten against the Bears. Hot, you know, just keep you feed the beast. I'm like, I talk about the Washington Redskins with Alfred Morris. When they don't win games, it's because they're not feeding the beast. Well, the situation is the same way. Frank Gore, when this team utilizes Frank Gore to the best of his ability, this team wins games. All right, and use your running game, use your power running game, and that's the way that the Niners can win games. And once they go away from that, and you're trying to feature Kaepernick, you let a team like the Bears get back in the game. This game was supposed to be over. They dominated the game. You let Jay Cutler get in the rhythm, and boom, it was over. And you had the rookie from VTech, Fuller, gave him opportunities to make plays, and that's what happened. You pound the ball. You gave the ball to Frank Gore. You're fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you win the game. But anyway, did this win help save the Bears' season?
Yeah, just because statistically speaking, if you look at teams that start 0-2, they only have a 14% chance of making the playoffs. I personally think that the Bears would be – they can be a team that can make it all at least to the NFC Championship game if that defense improves, just exactly. With all the weapons they have on the offensive side. I think this does – you know, it's cliche to say this saved their season, but it definitely put them in a better position going forward.
After losing to Buffalo, that would have been a tough loss, period. Yeah. Be 0-2, knowing that you should have beat the Buffalo Bills in Chicago – to be at least, you know, I'm sure when they looked at the schedule, it was like, we'll probably finish 1-1. We'll be 1-1 at this point. Any Chicago Bears fan would be like, we'll be 1-1. We play Buffalo, that'd be one. We gotta go to San Fran, a new stadium. They'll probably be hyped up. That could be a loss. But now, you know, you're 1-1, your season's saved. So now it's like, okay, we didn't go 0-2. We're in position to probably win. We could still win the NFC North. We have a good opportunity to win the NFC North. So I think they did save their season. Jay Cutler played big. And speaking of Jay Cutler, because of that game and what I saw, I was starting to question myself, is Jay Cutler an elite quarterback? Because I felt like he had the heart and he showed elite-ish kind of play against the Niners.
Define elite.
When we talking about, I mean,
is that, he what do by elite? Do you mean is he top five? Top five in the
top
league?
10. We can't top 10? 5 because I know 5 easy. He can't be top 5.
Top 10, yes.
He's a top 10 quarterback.
He's a top 10 quarterback.
All right, let me narrow that a little. Is he elite in terms that he can take a team to a Super Bowl?
Yes.
Okay,
so elite. I think okay. He does.
Okay.
Yes.
And put up numbers, and he could be the reason why the team goes to Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Then yeah, you're saying he could be elite. Okay. I mean, Jay Cutler, from what I saw in that game against the Niners, I saw elite ability. I've always been questionable of Jay Cutler. Didn't think he was an elite quarterback. I felt like he's a quarterback that can Romo-ish, that can lose the game for you. But in that game against the Niners, I saw a guy that was like he willed his team to victory.
Yeah.
Especially because the Niners took away the run game. Forte wasn't a factor. And he was like, and it was like he took that one hit. And everybody's going to mention that hit. I don't really care for the hit. But he took the hit. And
took a knee and got right back up,
and then it was like, boom, I got this. You know what I mean? And he stepped up, and knowing that he had a hurt Alshon Jeffries, a hurt Marshall, and still was able to let these wide receivers make plays. I give Jay Cutler credit. But anyway, it's about time to get into our picks. Right now, last week Will wasn't in, but you know I finished 2-2 last week. The week before Will was here, Will finished 3-1. I finished 4-0 in week one. I mean, Steelers, Ravens. Al picked Me and Al picked it the same in everything. Steelers, Ravens, me and Al picked the Steelers. Falcons, Bengals, me and Al picked the Bengals. Chiefs, Broncos, me and Al picked the Broncos. And the Colts and Eagles, Colts, me and Al picked the Colts. Obviously, the Eagles won, and the Ravens beat the Steelers. My record is overall is 6-2. Will is 3-1, but hey, I'm 6-2, good percentage. Will is 3-1, which is still an awesome percentage as well.
You're making money if you follow our bets.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. That's the main thing. Week 3 games. Packers, Lions.
Ooh, right off the bat, this is a tough one.
It's in Detroit, as you can
see. It's in Detroit?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Lions.
All right. Packers, Lions. I'm going to go with the Lions. I think at home, Megatron and Stafford, they play better. And I think look out for Reggie Bush. He should have a good game this game. Niners versus Arizona. Big game. 2-0 Niners. 2-0 is Cards and 1-1 Niners. Big game for the Niners, though. Don't know if Carson Palmer's going to play, though.
Going with the Niners.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Niners in this game just because Carson Palmer, I don't know if he's going to play or not. He's still injured, so we'll see how that plans out. Broncos versus Seahawks.
This is easy.
Super Bowl. Go ahead.
Broncos. Emmanuel Sanders is the X factor because last year they didn't have a guy who could take the top off the defense. Mm-hmm. With Emmanuel Sanders, you do. And you're Wes Welker will be back.
Denarius Thomas ain't that guy?
Nah. I mean, Denarius Thomas has speed, but he's not the guy that has that speed that Emmanuel Sanders has. Okay. Plus, Wes Welker's back.
I'm not a Seattle fan, so I'm going with the Broncos.
Okay.
I feel like Peyton Manning – I always go with Peyton Manning on get backs. I think Peyton Manning is really good when it comes to get back.
Yep, I'm going with the Broncos. Okay. Like yourself.
Okay. Steelers Panthers. I believe it's a Sunday night football game.
Sunday night football game. Ooh.
I know who I'm going with.
I'm going with the Panthers.
Yeah, we're similar. I'm going with the Panthers as well.
I think that defense is absolutely nasty.
And Big
Ben. And the Steelers haven't scored more than 10 points since the halftime of their first game.
And I'm just disgusted with the effort the Steelers put against the Ravens. I do think they'll put a better effort, but the Panthers' defense is real. And Big Ben, to me, against defenses like the Panthers, it's just not a good matchup for him.
Yep.
Not at all. So I'm going to go with the Panthers. Look out for Cam on Sunday night to shine. Bears versus Jets. The Bears again on primetime TV. Interesting.
What, Monday night?
This Monday night.
Oh, okay. I'm going with the Bears. Geno Smith loses another one.
I'm going to go with the Jets. Geno Smith wins this game. It's primetime. It's an opportunity for Geno Smith to showcase his talents. I'm going to go with the Jets win this game. And the Jets defense looks good anyway. So I look for them to give some problems to Jay Cutler. Let's go to fantasy football. Last week, Al picked Alfred Morris and Emmanuel Sanders to play well. I think they played pretty well. I know Alfred Morris played pretty well. Did Emmanuel Sanders have a touchdown?
I think he did.
Not sure. I thought he did. But anyway, when I picked Steve Smith, he only had like about 70-some yards. This is week 3. Give me your fantasy football pick, Will.
I am going with Joyke Bell from the Lions running back against the Panthers.
Oh, I like that one. I'm going to actually go with the Colts are playing the Jaguars, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Hakeem Nicks in this game. I think Hakeem Nicks will have a big game in this opportunity. We saw what Ryan Grant did, a guy with hands who can run routes. And Hakeem Nicks is a guy who's similar to Ryan Grant and to me more of a playmaker. So I look at Hakeem Nicks to have a big game against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay.
All right. We're about to wrap up the show. Before we wrap up, make sure you listen to us on our official Urban Sports Scene website. Again, the site is www.waliotop.podbeam.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com.
Once again, we want to thank you all for listening in. Want to thank Watt, Justin, for calling in spurring a discussion.
Yeah, exactly.
Very interesting discussion.
Yeah,
and once again, we're fans just like you. You guys are the reason why we do this. We appreciate all your love and support, and we'll see you next week.
Y'all have a good one, and Mega Ron, close us out, please, sir.